Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from the God who loves you and has redeemed you through our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, when I started seminary almost 20 years ago, I was still working full-time at my previous career. Most of my colleagues and friends affirmed my sense of calling on my life. But I had a few friends and colleagues who suggested that I had lost my mind. And one of them made a statement that I will never forget. Religion will be the demise of the human race. Those words felt very personal to me. They hurt. But I also knew this colleague and friend is no friend of Christianity or of religion. For me, who values my faith and loves the church, it was painful to hear someone that I knew well express that view. Religion will be the demise of the human race. Painful and saddening to hear that the faith I love described as part of a problem. Well, as we continue our sermon series, Looking for More, I believe that my faith has actually helped me to find more hope, more joy, more peace, more rest, more meaning. And today I will look at searching for more truth. My friends and family often wonder in their own searches for more what I, as a person of faith, think about various events in our world, because I am perceived as a church-going representative of organized religion. Well, in today's gospel text that you heard Pastor Cizik read from John's gospel, Jesus stands at his trial before Pilate, and Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Religious leaders among the Jews have brought Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. They are accusing Jesus of claiming to be a king. Now, in Roman law, that would be an act of treason, because the Roman emperor was the only king of everyone, including the Jews. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus goes on to say that his kingship, his rule or reign, does not derive its origin and character from this world. His kingdom is not about human power, military might, or human institutions. His kingdom is not something to be secured or maintained by force or control over others. His kingdom is not about violence, domination, or exploitation of others. If it were that, Jesus said to Pilate, he would have an army and his followers would do battle to prevent him from falling into the hands of his enemies, Jews or Romans. But he has no army because his kingship is not from this world. Instead, it comes from above, from God. Pilate does not understand what Jesus is talking about. He says to Jesus, "So you are a king." Jesus answers, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate still doesn't understand. He answers with his famous question, "What is truth?" and walks away. Pilate goes back out to the Jewish religious leaders and says, "I find no case against this man." But we all know how the story ends. Pilate is a man in the middle who finally takes the way of political expedience, the way of power, and Jesus is condemned to death. But at the heart of this scene, Jesus says his kingdom is not from this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that comes from God. His kingdom is one of love, not force or control over others. Jesus' purpose is to bring God's saving love, God's healing, peace, and reconciliation to this world. Jesus' kingship redefines the world's understanding of power. It is about the power of love. Jesus takes the form of a servant and gives his life for others. Now contrast what Jesus is saying with the theology or ideology that some seek in the name of God to build a kingdom of political, military, and religious power in this world. Contrast Jesus' words and actions with any form of violent religious extremism, past or present, in any religion. The tragic reality is that human institutions are subject to corruption. The great religions of the world differ in many ways, but they do all have one thing in common. In the language most familiar to us in the Christian tradition, Jesus expresses this common shared belief in these words from the Gospel of Matthew. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. At the heart of all authentic, healthy, life-sustaining religions, one finds this requirement: to love God and to love your neighbor. It's shared among Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, and people of other faith traditions. Whatever people may say about their love of God, when their behavior toward others is violent and destructive, even in the name of God, when it causes suffering among their neighbors in the name of God, we can be sure that the religion they profess has been corrupted. On the other hand, when religion remains true to its authentic sources, it actively dismantles such corruptions, reforms itself, and keeps true love of God and true love of neighbor at the center. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. For this I came into the world to testify to the truth. The truth of God's love for the world and God's intention that people live in peace and harmony. Everyone who belongs to the truth, Jesus says, listens to my voice, listens to the voice and truth of God's love for the world. But Pilate cannot hear it. He turns and walks away, saying, "What is truth?" without waiting for an answer. Pilate's question is the question we all ask. It has been said that the best way to defeat bad religion is with good religion. Religion that is authentic and healthy gives meaning, is life-giving, and life-sustaining. It gives us a social conscience. Without it, evil would run rampant. Rather than the demise of the human race, religion at its best always gives life. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate this weekend, once suggested that modern humanity suffers from a kind of poverty of spirit, which stands in glaring contrast to our scientific and technological advancements. King writes, "We have learned to fly the air like birds and swim the seas like fish, and yet we haven't learned to walk the earth as brothers and sisters. We have allowed the means by which we live to outdistance the ends for which we live." What I'm saying this morning is perhaps best summed up in the words of a young Paris man, Antoine Larras. I kept a copy of his open letter to the terrorists who killed his 35-year-old wife during the terrorist attack in Paris in 2015. Here is some of what he said to the terrorists. "Friday night, you took an exceptional life, the love of my life, the mother of my little son. But you will not have my hatred. I will not grant you the gift of my hatred. Responding to hatred with anger is falling victim to the same ignorance that has made you what you are. You want me to be scared, to view my countrymen with distrust, to sacrifice my liberty for my security. You lost. Of course, I am devastated by this pain. But I know that you will be with us every day. We are just two, my son and me, but we are stronger than all the armies in the world. I don't have any more time to devote to you. My son is barely 17 months old, and for his whole life, this little boy will threaten you by being happy and free, because no, you will not have his hatred either. That is the voice of someone who is living what Jesus said. My kingdom is not from this world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those who belong to the truth, listen to my voice, the voice of love. Let us listen to the voice of love. Amen.